that Enoch was translated on his birthday according to church tradition. And the church was born on the day of Pentecost. The church was not born on the day of the cross. The church was born on the day of Pentecost because that's when the Holy Spirit came. And without the Holy Spirit, we are totally ineffective. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to begin reading at verse 5. Hebrews 11, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for the anointing that breaks every yoke and every burden. Lord, we just ask that you send the Holy Spirit this morning, as you did on the day of Pentecost, that you open our hearts to be one with you, and that you would fill us and to give us eyes of that can see, ears that can hear, and an understanding heart. In Jesus' name, amen. The subject of my message this morning is rapture ready. We need to be ready for the coming of the Lord. The Lord is coming very soon. I don't know the day he's going to catch the church away, but I know there will be a day when the Lord catches the church away. I know there will be a day, a moment in the twinkling of an eye, and those that are in Christ and are ready will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And this is not a secret. Even Hollywood knows it. They've been cranking out movies for years about people being left behind. Amen. And you know what? I don't want to be left behind. How many of you guys want to be left behind? Hopefully nobody wants to be left behind. If you know what's waiting those that are left behind, you definitely don't want to be left behind. So you want to be ready for the rapture. Amen. And so I want to look at what it means to be ready for the rapture this morning. And in this text, in Hebrews 11:5, it says, by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. He was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony. What was his testimony? That he pleased God. He had a testimony that he pleased God. If that's the prerequisite for being raptured, are you pleasing God? Does your life please God? Do the things you do please God? Are you ready to meet the Lord? Is your life pleasing to God? We know that Jesus was pleasing to God. We read in Matthew 3, Matthew 3:16, 17. Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, and what? In whom I am what? Well pleased. And so we see that Jesus pleased the Father. Amen? And it is God's expectation that you and I please God. That if we're going to make the rapture, our life needs to be pleasing to God. I need to do things, I need to think the things that please God. Jesus pleased the Father. In John 8:29, we read that he said that he, this is Jesus speaking, he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And so not only did the testimony of God the Father say, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased, Jesus himself said, the reason the Father and I are so close is because I always do the things that please him. Hallelujah. That's the thing that Jesus said. I do the things that please the Father. Now, as a child, if you did things that pleased your father would be very pleased with you. He would want, this is my son, you know? And if you were one of those kids that always got in trouble, he probably didn't call you over and introduce you to people. And if he did, he might have done it with a switch in his hand. Now, we want to please the Father. We want to please God. How do I please God? Well, in our text, we read that Enoch was taken away from us because he did it by faith. He walked by faith. We understand Hebrews 11:6 tells us, without faith, it's what? Impossible to please God. And so the first thing I must do, I must be a man of faith. I must believe that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I must believe that God has a plan for my life. I must believe that when I sow, I reap. I must believe that when I read my Bible, I will be rewarded. When I pray, that no prayer goes unheard. That just as God sees a sparrow when he falls from his nest, that he sees me when I am doing what God wants me to do. And he also sees me when I'm not doing what God wants me to do. And so I need to have faith. I need to believe in a realm that I cannot see. Amen. We understand that the Bible says that the things that are made, that are visible, were made by things that are invisible. We understand that there is a world outside of the world that we see every day, this eternal world, that which is seen as temporal, that which is not seen as eternal. There is an eternal world outside the natural world, and I only know that because of faith. I've never seen it. I've never seen an angel. I've never seen God. I've never seen Jesus with my eyes, but by faith I know it's there. And so I live my life understanding that one day, I'm going to see that city. I'm going to hear those heavenly choirs sing. I'm going to walk around the throne of God, and I know that by faith and not by sight. Amen? And that's the kind of person I need to be if I'm going to please God. I need to be a man of faith. You need to be men and women of faith. You need to expect God to do something even when you don't see it. Amen? Hallelujah. So number one, faith. Number two, a good conscience. 1 Timothy 1:19. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Well, now, why a good conscience being rapture ready? You know, who gave you your conscience? God did, didn't he? When God made you, he put something inside you called a conscience. And the Holy Spirit is tuned into the frequency of your conscience. And the closer you get to God, the more hypersensitive you are. Your conscience is hypersensitive to certain things you ought not to do. And the farther you get from God, the less sensitive your conscience is on things you ought not to do. In fact, the Bible says that some people have severed their conscience as with a hot iron. How many of you guys have ever burned yourself with something hot before? And if it's a bad burn, it damages the nerve endings. Have you ever seen anyone that had burns on their arm and it was real shiny? The hairs doesn't grow there anymore? I remember my sister's first husband, Gary, worked at Pizza Hut for years. And this is the day when it didn't go through a conveyor belt like they do now. They opened the door and they reached in and they popped the bubbles on the crust and then closed the door. And he had all these shiny marks on his arm where he had seared his arm on that pizza oven. And you know what you can do with those is you can take a little pin and you can stick in that seared part and you don't feel the pin because the nerve endings have been seared. And so sin is the same way. As we begin to sin and we do it often and we ignore our conscience, and we quit listening to that still small voice that says, you ought not to do this, you ought not to do this, you ought not to do this, then eventually we sear our conscience and we lose the sensitivity of our conscience. And in our text here it says, because of that, some people's faith have made shipwreck. Their spiritual life is shipwrecked. And we can all know what a shipwreck is. You know, you're out on the sea, you're going somewhere, but you've blown off course somehow. You've hit the rocks. You're sinking. People are dying. It's a shipwreck. And God, the Holy Spirit, in the text in 1 Timothy says that if you ignore your conscience, if you ignore that thing that God put on the inside, it can lead you to a total shipwreck. And I'm here to tell you, those people will not go up in the rapture. Amen? If we want to go up, if we want to be rapture ready, we need to hold faith and a good conscience. They go hand in hand. Hallelujah. It's a good place for an amen. They go hand in hand. Now, 1 Timothy 1:5 says, just a few verses before that, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. So now we have a third element. We not only have faith, we not only have a good conscience, but it says the end of the commandment is charity. And that's love, isn't it? So number one, faith. Number two, a good conscience. Number three, love. In Mark 12, 29 through 31, Jesus, in response to the question about the commandments, answered, "The first of all commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And this is the first commandment. And the second is like this, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandments greater than these." In fact, in another passage it says, all the law and all the commandments are summed up in these two. In other words, all the verses in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and all the prophets, you know, 1st, 2nd Samuel, 1st, 2nd Kings, all of these things that we read when we're going through the Old Testament Sunday school can be summed up in two simple things. If you just love God with all your heart, and you treat people the way you want to be treated, you love them the way you love yourself. And how many don't love yourself? We love ourselves, don't we? We spend time combing our hair and ladies putting on your makeup, and we buy new clothes for ourselves, right? Because we love ourselves. We take care of ourselves. And we're supposed to take care of others the same way. Loving God with all our heart, loving our neighbor as ourselves, treating people the way you would want to be treated. And so, number one, faith. Rapture ready. I've got to have faith. Number two, I've got to take care of my conscience. You know, taking care of my conscience, it's basically summing up, do I care more about what God thinks or what people think? My conscience is being aware of how God sees me. And listening to that inner voice, listening to that conscience. And then, of course, number three, loving people. In John 14, 15, Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Amen? I love Jesus, but I don't always keep his commandments. But he said, then, if you really love me, you'll keep my commandments. You know what that says to me? Sometimes I don't love Jesus as much as I should. And that should make me step back and say, I need to reevaluate some things. Because if I truly love him the way I'm supposed to love him, I won't want to do wrong. And really, you know, it all comes down to, who do I love more? Do I love myself more than Jesus? Do I love my sin more than Jesus? And if I do, I need to reevaluate my relationship. I need to step back and say, Lord, I'm divorcing my sin, and I'm coming back to you. Think about it. I'm kicking this thing out of my life. You leave. You are affecting my relationship. I want to be ready for the rapture. That's what we're talking about this morning. And if I have to divorce my sin so that, you know, I'm not talking about divorcing my wife. Don't read anything in it. I'm talking about something in my life that has got to go. Because if I love him, I will keep his commandments. And I must love him with all my heart. And so, the three things, faith, a good conscience, and walking in the love of God. Now, what are the benefits of pleasing God? Number one, peace. Proverbs 16:7 says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Wow. You know, I don't need to fix relationships. I need to fix Roger. Because when I please God, everything else takes care of itself. And if I'm not listening to God and doing what God wants me to do, I will inevitably screw up. And sometimes I don't always do right, but if I can just stay in tune with God, hopefully he will help me and remind me, you need to do this, not that. Help us, Lord. So the number one benefit of pleasing God is peace in my life. Number two is growth. 1 Thessalonians 4:1 says, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ, as we have received of us, how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. And so we see that when I please God, he said, if you'll just please God, you will abound more and more. That means you'll grow, right? People wonder why they don't grow spiritually. Is they're not pleasing God. Their life, they may say all the right things. They may go to church. They may speak Christianese. But are you really pleasing God? If you are, you're growing. You're abounding more and more. You keep growing. It's like watering a flower or watering a plant. It grows. You don't water it, it doesn't grow. And so we have to please God. Remember, Jesus said, I always please the Father, and that's why we're so close. I'm paraphrasing, right? I and the Father are one. He's with me all the time. Why? Because I always please the Father. And so when we please God, we have the benefit of growing closer to God, of walking with God. So what are the challenges? 1 Corinthians 7:33. He that is married cares for the things of the world, how he may please his wife. Now, this is the chapter in 1 Corinthians on marriage, and Paul is just speaking the truth. You know, he says, I would rather you be like me and not get married. Because when you're not married, you think of how to please the Lord. And when you're married, it's normal. You're supposed to. He's not saying don't do it. You're thinking about how to please your wife. I love to please my wife. I love to make her happy. I'm sad when I don't make her happy, when I disappoint her, because that's my job as a husband. It's to love my wife as Christ loved the church and try my best to please her and make her happy. Right? So the challenge then in pleasing God is for, you know, and maybe you're not married, but if you got a job, you have to please your boss, right? You can't just come in whenever you feel like it, right? You have kids, you try to keep relationships with them and so on. And so we have all of these external challenges, basically, that I've got to please, you know, I've got to pay my bills, or, you know, the mortgage company won't be pleased with me. They will kick me out, right? If you're renting, you will get kicked out of your rent house or whatever the case may be. So you have all of these obligations to please people around you. So that's the challenge. I've got to please God in addition to all these other people. But I love the verse before that in 1 Corinthians 7:29. It says, but this I say, brethren, the time is short. So he's talking to all us last day saints, right? It remains that both they that have wives be as though they had none. Now, is he saying just stay out all night with your buddies and don't call your wife? Of course not. He's saying walk that fine line in your mind where even though you have the responsibility of pleasing your wife, make sure you're pleasing God as if you weren't married. Amen? Keep that mental focus there. Don't lose yourself in the relationship. Or you lose your relationship with God because you're so trying to please your wife. Please your wife, but be as though those that are not married. Make sure you keep the main thing, please God. That's the challenge. Now, we understand that we are living in the last days. And some have, you know, I get emails from Linda and Eddie and some others, and I read different websites, and there's some tremendous types and shadows about the day of Pentecost being the rapture of the church. I mean, we could be raptured out by the end of the day tomorrow. Right? Could be. Now, I kind of think that it's more of a picture of, you know, because the 50 days could also represent 50 years. I think it's more of a type and shadow. I'm still looking at this fall, but I wouldn't be disappointed if I was wrong. Not at all. So the question is, am I ready? Am I ready? Am I ready? It would be crazy to be this close to going up to heaven with Jesus and miss it. It would be tragic. It would be horrible. There would be people crying their eyes out, ripping their clothes, begging God for a second chance. We are so close to the rapture of the church. If the Lord hasn't taken us out sometime next month, I plan on doing our Saturday night Bible prophecy update that we do once a year on a Saturday night. And you know, this could be the last one. I say that last year. But we are that close, amen? In fact, I think I hear the trumpet now. No. But it would be tragic to be left behind. It would be tragic to be so close. Can you just imagine the brokenness of the firefighter that maybe had that guy's tips of his fingers in his hand when the current swept him away? Can you imagine how close he was to maybe saving his buddy and lost him? That is so disappointing. And we are that close. We are literally that close. So what do we need to do? We need to have faith, obviously. But we need to take inventory of our conscience. Are my actions, are my attitudes, are the things I think about, are the things that I do, are they severing my conscience? Are they causing my conscience to keep me from going up in the rapture? There's all kinds of noise going on. Turn your volumes down if you would, please. Thank you. All right. So, in closing, my responsibility is to please God above all else. If I have to choose between pleasing God and pleasing someone else, I must please God. I must please God. I must please God. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with this gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which tries our hearts. You see, when we got saved, we were entrusted with a message. Amen. Good news. Now, it's only good news to the people that receive it. The people that don't want to hear it, it's not good news. I've tried to share with my sister Joyce more than once, and she'll look at me and go, "Don't preach to me." It's not good news to them. But it is good news. It's only good news if they will accept it as the good news. Why would you want, what is it in Isaiah, the prophet says, "Why would you die, saith the Lord?" I mean, it just boggles the mind why people would refuse the good news. But in 1 Thessalonians 2:4, but we as we're allowed of God to be put in trust of the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God. We don't say this to please them, because sometimes it doesn't please them. We share our faith to please God. Amen. It doesn't matter whether they receive. We hope they receive the message. And sometimes I think that's why people get discouraged when they share, because they want everybody to receive it and get saved, and they're more concentrated on the joy of the guy getting saved than the joy of pleasing God by just sharing it. And because their focus is wrong, they get discouraged. The odds are in the favor that they will not receive it. We are living in the last days. You can't save them. It's not your responsibility to save them. It's your responsibility to tell them. Jesus loves you. He died for you. He's coming again. You need to repent and accept this great salvation. I don't want to hear that. Don't preach to me. Okay, bye. I've pleased God. I've expelled my responsibility. In Jeremiah, he says, if you see someone that's sinning and you don't tell them and you don't warn them, then I will require their blood on your hands. You see, this is not about the other person. It's about pleasing God. Amen. And so, in review, faith, a good conscience, and love, the benefits, of course, peace and growth, the challenge, of course, we have to please others, including our spouses and our jobs and our boss. We have to walk that fine line. It's not easy to please God sometimes with different priorities. But the most important thing to recognize is everything I do must be to please God. And in the text where he says, not as pleasing men but God, I may not please man in the process. If I share my faith and it makes someone mad, why would you do that? You know that makes them mad. Because I'm pleasing God. The Apostle Paul said, whether should I choose to please man or to please God? As for me, I will please the Lord. Come on up, Noah. Hallelujah. I want to please God. I have divorced my besetting sins. The rapture's coming. I've divorced myself from certain things. The rapture is coming very soon. I've kicked that thing out of my life. Kick it out of your house. Don't have it there. Get rid of it. The rapture's coming. Get out of here. Like a referee throwing someone out of a game. Throw it out. Jesus said it this way. If your hand causes you sin, cut it off. Why would you go to hell with all your members? Better to go to heaven without a hand, without an eye. Kick them out. Expel them. Divorce them. Throw them out the door. Kick them out the door. The rapture is coming. And I want to be rapture ready. Amen. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Lying devil. Glory, 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 glory. Jesus Christ is coming again. Jesus Christ is coming again, church. Jesus is coming again. He's coming very soon. He's coming. He's coming. I know he's coming. How do you know he's coming? Because I study the word. And I know that we are in the time, we are in the season, we are in the hour of his coming. We are that close. The Lord is coming very soon. I want to be rapture ready. I want to be ready to go. He's ready to come. I want to be ready to go. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to take inventory of my heart this morning. Take inventory of my attitude. Take inventory of my pride, my jealousy, my envy. Take inventory, Lord, of my unbelief. Lord, help me, Lord, to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh. Help me, Lord, to have the faith that Enoch had when he was translated. And help me to have the testimony he had that he pleased God. Help me to have the faith that Enoch had when he was translated. And help me, Lord, have the testimony he had that he pleased God. Lord, help me to love the brethren. Help me to love people. Lord, sometimes people aren't lovable, but help me to love them anyway. Help me to love the Lord my God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love my neighbor as myself. And last of all, Lord, in spite of the priorities I have of pleasing others, help me to please you above all else, and help me, Lord, not to worry when I don't please people, because you are more important. The Lord is coming. Take inventory of my heart, Lord. If there's anything in my life I need to divorce, I need to kick out, I need to expel, I need to cut off, Lord, help me by the grace of God to make today the day I kick that thing out of my life once and for all. I kick it out of my thought life. I kick it out of my passions, whatever it is, Lord. I expel it. I divorce it. I remove it from my life so that I am ready when the Lord comes. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. You got a song for us?
This is my commandment, that you love one another, that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, that your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, that your joy may be full.
Now give three people a big hug before you go and demonstrate it.